Leah Benn, the creative partner for worship at the local church, and you are listening to the Sunday Sermon Podcast featuring the messages from our Sunday liturgy. The local church is a bold and inclusive faith community based in Chatham County, North Carolina. We gather for worship every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. in person at Woods Charter School in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and online via Facebook Live and YouTube. No matter where you find yourself physically, spiritually, or emotionally, you belong at the local church. And we're so glad you're here.
Hi, everybody. Our scripture reading this morning is from the Acts of the Apostles in the New Testament, chapter 1, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your daughters and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit. And they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.' This is the word of God for all of God's creation. Thanks be to God."
Come, Holy Spirit, breathe on us. In the name of Jesus, the giver of breath. Amen. I know that for many people, many folks, Sunday morning is a lot like working out. It's a lot like exercise. I mean, I have to be here every week, but most of you don't, right? We're so glad when you are. Your presence really does make a difference, but I know I've told some of y'all that I was talking to a pastor friend a few weeks ago about summer attendance at their church, and he said, yeah, attendance is up and down during the summer. It's up in the mountains and down at the beach. Isn't that great? And you need your Sabbath, right? We all need it. We need your vacation. But just promise you'll come back when you do have your vacation, okay? Raise your right hand. No, just kidding. We need you here, and more on that in a bit. But I know how it is, because believe it or not, I've exercised before. And I know that Sunday mornings are a lot like working out, at least for me. I go through seasons where I'm like all about it. I get some streaks going. I'm posting all my workouts to Strava. I'm feeling good. Confidence is high. I get that runner's high, even though it only lasts about 30 seconds max for me ever. But then inevitably, I'll fall off the wagon. My running shoes start collecting dust in the corner. My off-brand Peloton is judging me in my bedroom. I make a million excuses. I think about exercising. I'm just like, ugh, no. It's been like this for years. On again, off again. And it's so hard to get back on the wagon. Anybody else struggle with this? Yeah? But then when I finally do get back on that wagon and the endorphins get going, it feels great, you know? Maybe you've had that feeling too, of getting back into a routine or back into a habit and for the first time in a while, and you have this sense of, oh, right, this is why people do this. I get it. This is what I've been missing. And that's enough to sustain you, at least for a little while, right? You needed that reminder, that boost. And that's what this morning is about. That's what today is all about. This is why we need today, to remember why we do this, what we're a part of, why we wake up on Sunday mornings and make time for this weird countercultural hour and offer our gifts and our time and our energy, why we participate in service opportunities and lean into friendship even when it can be awkward, why we give ourselves over to this movement, why being a part of a church matters. That's what today is all about. Because today, as Leah mentioned, is Pentecost. Today is Pentecost. Pentecost comes from the Greek word for 50th. Today is the 50th and final day of the Easter season. Today marks 50 days post-resurrection. If you remember last week, we celebrated the Ascension, which happened 40 days after the resurrection. Ascension is the moment that Jesus ascends to the right hand of the Father. And the ascension is a big deal, because in his ascension to heaven, Jesus moves from being in one particular place in one particular time to inhabiting every time and every place. It's holy and beautiful and maddeningly mysterious, which is just par for the course when you've been hanging out with Jesus for this long. But as we heard in the scripture we shared together last week, before Jesus ascends, he tells his disciples, his closest friends and followers, to wait. Before you go, he says, wait, stay in Jerusalem, pray. Not many days from now, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit, my presence, will come upon you. And that's where we find them today, on this 50th day after Easter. Today, Pentecost, is the day that the Holy Spirit indeed and at last comes upon them. Story that Julie read so well with all of those different names. Well done, Julie. Our story opens with the disciples waiting there in Jerusalem, and they're all together in one place, and all of a sudden, there's the sound of wind, and it fills the entire house where they are. And what you've got to remember is that in Greek, the same word for wind is the same word for breath, is the same word for spirit. And that's true in Hebrew, too. The same word for wind is the same word for breath, is the same word for spirit. In Hebrew, that word is ruach, ruach. And in Greek, it's pneuma, the same word for wind, breath, and spirit. And so what Luke is doing here is he's underlining and highlighting and circling three times that this is the descending of the Holy Spirit, the very presence and power of God. This is what Jesus had promised, and here it is. And then, Luke says, there are divided tongues as a fire that settles on each of the disciples there, and they begin to speak in other languages. And if that's not wild enough, Jews who had gathered from all over in Jerusalem for the Festival of Weeks or for the Jewish Festival of Shavuot, they begin to hear each in their own native languages. It's as if they're at the United Nations receiving the translation of the disciples' testimony, each in their mother tongue, except that there are no headphones here, no headsets here. They can just hear it. They can just understand. This is instead the work of the Spirit. And this whole experience is bewildering. It's confusing. It's chaotic. It's disorienting. And in the midst of their bewilderment, those who have gathered are trying to make sense of it. And so they jump to the most logical conclusion. They're filled with new wine. In other words, they must be drunk. How great is this? Love this story. And all of this leads to one of my very favorite verses in the entire Bible. Peter stands up to give the first sermon ever to address the crowd. And among the very first words out of his mouth are, "Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 in the morning." As if to say it's too early. They couldn't be drunk. But from there, Peter is off. He quotes the prophet Joel, bringing ancient words forward in a modern context as if to say, God is doing something new. Remember when God said that God would pour out the Spirit upon all flesh, and that when the Spirit is poured out, sons and daughters would prophesy, that young men would see visions and old men would dream dreams. You remember that? That's today. That's what Peter's getting at here in quoting Joel. That's what Peter's working to drive home, that something new is happening. It's beginning to click for him, and he wants to make it click for everyone else that Jesus isn't gone. Jesus hasn't disappeared. Rather, the very presence and power of Jesus was being poured out in that very moment among those who had gathered, coming in wind and in fire to inhabit the hearts and souls of all flesh, coming to breathe life into the lungs of every human being. In that moment, by grace, Christ's body is reformed in those who had gathered and those who were listening. In this moment, the church is born. In this moment, the church is born. This church is born. A few things I want to point out about this story. First, I don't want us to miss how the Spirit is working through language here. It's a key theme in this story. The disciples are empowered to speak in other languages, and in so doing, it's no longer about their desire to conform others to their way of living and moving and speaking. Rather, to speak a language that's not your own, to speak a language that's not your own, is an act of submission. It's an act of humility. It changes the dynamic and moves it from one of power or seeking power over to one of solidarity with. When you learn a new language, when you can speak somebody else's language, it moves from dominion to solidarity. And speaking of language, there's something powerful here too about the tongues, because notice that though the Spirit gives each of the disciples other languages, everyone can still understand and communicate. Even though they're all speaking in different languages, everyone can still understand and communicate. And there's a powerful message here about how there is unity in the midst of diversity, how there is room for difference in God's kingdom. There's unity in particularity. In other words, sameness is not the goal of the Spirit. Oneness is. Unity and uniformity are two very different things. And the last thing I want to point out this morning is that question that those who've gathered begin to ask when they're trying to make sense of what's happening. Before they ask if everyone is drunk, they ask this question: what does this mean? What does this mean? It's a question that we've perhaps asked too lately, trying to make sense of all of the things. War raging on the other side of the world with tens of thousands of innocent men, women, and children displaced or killed as missiles and bullets continue to rain down. Food and fuel prices rising, making it harder for families to put food on the table. Wages not rising at the same pace. Parents racing against time to find formula for their infants. Carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere at their highest level in history. Children murdered in an elementary school classroom, another mass shooting this week at a hospital in Tulsa. Seems to be a daily occurrence for us. And this is all on top of the questions we carry every day about our loved ones. How we'll keep going after losing a loved one. Wondering if we'll ever feel like ourselves again. Will we find the one? Will there be any end to this anxiety, this sadness, this fear? What does this mean? And this is all why we need today. This is why we need Pentecost. Because on this day, we remember who we are and what we're about. We remember who we are and what we're about. Because God is asking us the same question. What does this mean? And by this, God's talking about this. What does this mean? Because on Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the church, we are reminded that the story of the sending of the Spirit upon the gathered community isn't just a story that happened generations ago. It's not just a one and done, but it's still happening. Right here and right now. Amidst the weariness of the world and the heaviness of our own hearts, today is a reminder that God is still with us. And the empowering Spirit of Jesus is still active among us. The body of Christ here in our neighborhoods, our communities, our workplaces, our schools, and our world. Today, we remember that we don't just get together once a week so we can sing and say a few words and have a snack and then go back home as if nothing ever happened. Makes me think of the words of my pastor friend Jerry, who says all the time, look, Jesus never said, y'all get together once a week and tell me how great I am. No, he says, if someone's hungry, feed them. If someone's thirsty, give them something to drink. If someone is sick, bring the healing. If someone needs a coat, give it to them. If someone's outcast or marginalized, cross your own boundary and go to them. This is our mission. This is what we're about. About once a year, I have the privilege of teaching a course on the mission of the church to aspiring pastors. And there's this great quotation I use every time I teach by a theologian named Christopher Wright. And this is it. He says, the church doesn't have a mission. God's mission has a church. The church doesn't have a mission. God's mission as a church. And this is why we need today. This is what this means. We sing and pray and hear scripture and receive Holy Communion because when the Spirit gets involved in all of it, it transforms us. And not only does it transform us, but in that transformation, we are sent into the world as a changed people, as a transformed people. We're sent in love, with love, for love. We're sent in love, with love, for love. This is what this means. And as I've been sitting this week with the weariness of the world and the heaviness of so many hearts, my own included, it feels like Pentecost couldn't be more perfectly timed. Because God does have a mission. Where swords are beaten into plowshares, where the lion and the lamb lie together, where there is unity and justice and peace in every place, where every tear is wiped from every eye, where every belly is full, where all have enough, where the land is stewarded and cared for, not plundered and exploited, where each and every child of God has belonging and is honored with sacred worth, and not only is celebrated, but knows it and claims it, where no one is lonely, where kids can sleep and play and learn in peace and their parents without fear. God has a mission. That's what this means. God has a mission. And God's mission has a church. God's mission has a Tegan and a Gracie and a Chris and a Peter and a Deborah, and a Ben, and a Paul, and a Peggy, and a Haley. God's mission has a church. God's mission has the local church. So today on this Pentecost Sunday, may the Spirit fill and empower you to be sent in mission in love, with love, for love, to love where you are. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hey, it's Leah again. If you love what you hear, share this episode or send it to someone who could use a little good news this week. We'd also love for you to leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. For more information about the local church, visit thelocalchurchpbo.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Local Church PBO. Until next time, love where you are.